This is Pastor Jim with Passion for Truth Ministries on the Gushuan Radio Network.
Decrying the folly of the current holiday system that everyone has taken for granted for most or all of their lives. Believe it or not, there is scriptural basis for their warnings, albeit not so much in the form of a thou shalt not. You will find the thought and principles reiterated throughout the scriptures. As one reads Torah and Tanakh, it will communicate the basis of living not by a specific list of commands, although they are very present as well, but by how they were walked and talked by the people, real people, with thoughts, feelings, and emotions. They, too, had distractions from old lives or foreign countries or even corrupt leadership to deal with in everyday life regarding their complete dedication to the one and living God, Yehovah. Rather than behaving like God is here to serve them, they took the approach that we would do well to heed. What will I do for my God? After all, it's well known we were created to serve and worship Him, not the other way around. Deuteronomy 4:6. You are to fear Adonai your God, serve Him and swear by His name. If you are not to follow other gods chosen from the gods of the people around you. It was during Jezebel's reign with King Ahab that Elijah was called to bring Israel out of idolatry, essentially the first call to come out of her my people. The original intention of this lesson was to highlight the nuances and actions of Jezebel herself to rightly understand why she is mentioned so many times in Scripture. But the story becomes less than effective without Yehovah's reaction to his people serving other gods than himself. So in this week's lesson, we'll review the call of Yehovah to Israel to serve him and him only. Then we'll introduce ourselves to Jezebel. 1 Kings 16:25. Omri did what was evil from Adonai's perspective, outdoing all his predecessors in wickedness. For he lived entirely in the manner of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, committing the sins which he made Israel sin, thereby angering Adonai, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. 1 Kings 16:29. It was in the 30th year of Asa, king of Judah, that Achab, the son of Omri, began his rule over Israel. Achab, the son of Omri, ruled 22 years over Israel in Shomron. Achab, the son of Omri, did what was evil from Adonai's perspective, outdoing all his predecessors in wickedness. But then, we read in verse 31, as if it had been a trifling thing for him to commit the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Etbaal, king of the Sidon, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Shomron. Achab also set up the Asherah. Indeed, Achab did more to anger Adonai, the God of Israel, than all the kings of Israel preceding him. It was during this time that Hiel of Beit-El, which is house of God, rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundation at the cost of his firstborn Abiram and erected its gates at the cost of his youngest son Segub. This was in keeping of the with the word of Adonai spoken through Yehoshua, the son of Nun. Due to the blatant idolatry directly in the sight of Jehovah, Elijah is summoned to make the following order. 1 Kings 17:1. Elihu from Tishbe, an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Achab, as Adonai, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there will be neither dew nor rain in the years ahead, unless I say so. This was imposed because early on, Yehovah had warned of blessings and curses in association with obedience to Torah. As we can see in here, the blessings associated with obedience obviously speak to famine for disobedience. Deuteronomy 11:14. Then, says Adonai, I will give your land its rain at the right seasons, including early fall rains and the late spring rains, so that you can gather in your wheat, new wine, and olive oil. Back to Elijah in 1 Kings 18. When Elihu went to present himself to Achab, the famine in Shomron had become severe. Achab called Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Now Obadiah greatly revered Adonai. For example, when Isabel was murdering Adonai's prophets, Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them in 2 caves, 50 each, and supplied them with food and water. Jezebel was incensed that the prophets of Jehovah were the cause of the famine in Israel. Therefore she, along with the king, ordered every prophet of Jehovah slain on sight, as if killing the messenger would contain the message of Tishbe they carried. So with these orders in place, Elijah meets up with Obadiah and tells him to go before the king and announce a planned meeting between the king and Elijah on the Mount Carmel. Visibly shaken, Obadiah inquires as to why Elijah would impose a certain death sentence on him, since he greatly revered Jehovah. Obadiah, however, complies after a promise of deliverance, and the planned meeting takes place. 1 Kings 18:17. When Achab saw Elihu, Achab said to him, is it really you, you troubler of Israel? He answered, I haven't troubled Israel. You have, you and your father's house, by abandoning Adonai's mitzvot and following the Baalim. Now order all Israel to assemble before me on Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Isabel's table. Achab sent word to all the people of Israel and assembled the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Reminiscent of the days of Joshua 24, we once again see Israel gathering to choose her God. Joshua 24:14. Therefore fear Adonai, and serve him truly and sincerely. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve Adonai. If it seems bad to you to serve Adonai, then choose today whom you are going to serve. Will it be the gods your ancestors served beyond the river, or the gods of the Emory in whose land you are living? As for me and my household, we will serve Adonai. 1 Kings 18:17. Verse 20. Achab sent word to the people of Israel and assembled the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Then Elihu stepped forward before all the people and said, "How long are you going to jump back and forth between two positions? If Adonai is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him." The people answered him not a word. Then Elihu said to the people, I alone am the only prophet of Adonai who is left, while Baal's prophets number 450. Let them give us two young bulls, and they can choose the bull they want for themselves. Then let them cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of my God, and the God who answers with fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, good idea, agreed. Then Elihu said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves, and prepare it first, because there are many of you. Then call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. They took the bull that was given to them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us! But no voice was heard, and no one answered, as they jumped around on the altar they had made. Around noon, Elihu began ridiculing them. Shout louder! After all, he's a god, isn't he? Maybe he's daydreaming, or he's on the potty, or he's away on a trip. Maybe he's asleep and you have to wake him up. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and knives, as their custom was, until blood gushed out all over them. By now it was afternoon, and they went on ranting and raving until it was time for the evening offering. But no voice came, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elihu said to all the people, come here to me. All the people came up to him as he set about repairing the altar of Adonai that had been broken down. Elihu took 12 stones, in keeping with the number of tribes of the sons of Yaakov, to whom the word of Adonai had come, saying, your name is to be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of Adonai. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough for half a bushel of grain. He arranged the wood, cut up the bull, and laid it on the wood. Then he said, fill four pots with water. Pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. They did it. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he said, and they did it a third time. By now the water was flowing around the altar, and it had filled the trench. Then, when it came time for offering the evening offering, Elihu the prophet approached and said, Adonai, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, Adonai, hear me, so that this people may know that you, Adonai, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back to you. Verse 38, then the fire of Adonai fell. It consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Adonai is God! Adonai is God! Elihu said to them, seize the prophets of Baal and don't let one of them escape. They seized them, and Eliyahu brought them down to Beit Kishon and killed them there. Then Eliyahu said to Akav, "Get up, eat, and drink, because I hear the sound of heavy rain." Akav went up to eat and drink, while Eliyahu went to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed down to the ground, put his face between his knees. "Now," he said to his servant, "go up and look out toward the sea." He looked up. He went up and looked and said, "There's nothing there." "Seven times," he said, "go again." The seventh time the servant said, "Now there's a cloud coming up out of the sea, no bigger than a man's hand." Eliyahu said, "Go up and say to Akav, 'Prepare your chariot and get down the mountain before the rain stops you.'" A little later, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and heavy rain began falling as Akav, riding in his chariot, made for Yisrael. The hand of Adonai was on Eliyahu. He tucked up his clothing and ran ahead of Akav to the entrance of Yisrael. 1 Kings 19:1. Akav told Isabel everything Eliyahu had done and how he had put all the prophets to the sword. Then Isabel sent a message to say to Eliyahu, "May the gods do terrible things to me and worse ones besides if by this time tomorrow I haven't taken your life just as you took theirs." On seeing that, he got up and fled for his life. When he arrived in Beersheba in Yehuda, he left his servant there, but he himself went a day farther into the desert until he came to a broom tree. He sat down under it and prayed for his own death. "Enough," he said. "Now Adonai, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and went to sleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the hot stones and a jug of water. He ate and drank, then lay down again. The angel came again a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up, ate, and drank, and on the strength of that meal traveled 40 days and nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. The stories contained in the scriptures are not only historical testaments to earth's beginnings, but they are living parables for us to draw from today. Yeshua consistently used parables rather than direct commands when teaching the crowds, the leaders, or his Talmudim. And since we know Torah is the picture of Yeshua, it follows that we should heed these writings in principle as well as action. In the next portion of this story, we'll hear how Elijah became fearful of Jezebel and her prophet-killing spree. Hiding in a cave, we'll hear the exchange between him and the Almighty Yahweh. This exchange is important because there are direct references to this event in the New Testament, and we need to hear the principles involved to understand why we're reminded of this story for today's understanding. Adonai said to Moshe, "Speak to Aharon and his sons. Tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, 'Yivarecha Adonai vishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav hilecha vikuneka, Yisa Adonai panav hilecha v'yesem lecha shalom.' May Adonai bless you and keep you. May Adonai make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Adonai lift his face upon you and give you peace."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high. All for
to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin.
False doctrine. It's all gibberish. The Yeshuan Radio Network. Be delivered, not deceived.
You've got prayer.
Yeshuan Radio!